Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tet Zion. Oh, okay, we got up to yesterday. We were thinking about the various shitas, about how it is that we bring the karka, the offer that is be karka HaMishkan. So we had the different shitas about whether you're allowed to bring it in, into the Mishkan, and then take it out again. And the only meaning of Bekarka Mishkan is that it can't be mitoch kupato, but it could certainly come from outside. Others hold that you have to actually make sure that there's karka there and that you take it out, but the meaning is not the yihyeh means you shouldn't be digging it at the time, and so on. Okay, so now we got up to Iboilu. So the question is like this. Can you use, in the event that you don't have any actual afar, can you use afer? So is it possible that if you put ashes in the water, that you would be yotze putting the afar? Now that we're learning that yeh means you could bring it in, maybe it doesn't have to be dirt. So alibi de Beit Shammai lo tibay b'cha. This is definitely something that has been decided, Aliba de Beit Shammai. They hold that we never have a case where Afer is called Afar. Because we have this, where's the main question about this? The main question is in Maseches Kulin, where over there we have the din, Legabi, Kisui Hadam, and with the Machlokas, can you use Afer instead of Ofer? And why do we even think such a thing? Well, it's just because it sounds vaguely the same. I mean, a weird kind of thing. It's not as weird as it sounds. Because when we're talking about, as we're going to see later on, the Pora Aduma, and when a Pora Aduma is burned, it is certainly burned to ash and not into Ofer, and yet the Torah says, Velakulata me afar, which means not from the ash, but from the ground, Srefata Parah. But there is no ground of Srefata Parah. So then that means that the Torah is clearly using the word afar Srefata Parah, and it's called afar. So according to Beit Shammai, there's no time, he argues on the diak over there of Beit Hillel, that because of that, you see that any time the Torah says Ofer, you can actually use Afer. Okay. Beit Shammai says that that's not true. And the only time that you can confuse the two is where it says Afar Srefa. Yes, Afar Srefa obviously is a way of referring to ash, because the ash has reduced it to minerals, which are, in fact, Afar. But if it just says Stam Afar, and not the Afar Srefa, says Beit Shammai, we never find any case where anyone would confuse Afar with Afer. So according to Beit Shammai, there's nothing to discuss. Torah says you have to take the Afar from the Mishkan. How could I think that Afer would be good? But the question is, what about Alibi de Beit Hillel? So Kitibolach Alibi de Beit Hillel, according to Beit Hillel, there's no difference between afar srefat and afar. Afar means that we can use the word afar to refer also to afar. So maybe, I mean, we could say that afa gav de ikre afar. It could be that this case is different, despite the fact that we know that ashes are called the same thing. They use the word afar according to Beit Hillel. But you can't use them interchangeably in this case. Why? Because in this case, it's specified to take the afar that's bekarka hamishkan. Well, there's no ashes, bekarka hamishkan. So therefore, in this case, it means clearly no ash, only actual ground. Or you could say, well, it depends. Remember, we just had a machloket what those words of the karka hamishkan means. So enochinami, if the karka hamishkan means literally that you have to be taking it from the ground itself, you're right. But what about the way Isi ben Yehuda learned and Isi ben Menachem learned, they both learned that you can bring in the dirt from the outside, right? And that we learned that from the Yehiyeh. In which case, the Karka HaMishkan is not coming to tell me only something that you'll find on the ground. It would be including maybe the same thing, whatever Afar means elsewhere. What would you say? Well, Tashma. D'yomer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. We have three examples where a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai actually will be okevet mikra, that it just pushes aside the simple meaning of a pasuk, and it tells me, act differently. Okay, what is that case? By the way, there's a different lashon over here, which is, the question is whether it's okevet. How do you read that as it's like ma'akev? Does it mean the lashon of, you know, a heel, like walking over it exactly? And is it a lashon of okeret? So some have the gears of okeret halacha, like we have in other places. But okay, so if it means okevet, it boils down to the same thing. So we have three places where halacha is doicha, the simple pshat. A Torah amra be'afar. So the Torah said that when it comes to kisui hadam, that you're supposed to be covering the dam of a chaya or of a tzipor, you're supposed to be using afar. And comes along the halacha, and it says, even though it says that, the truth is b'chol davar. As long as it's something that is actually usable for planting, it has to be something that is supportive of life, of plant life. That we learned out in Chulin. But it does not have to be dirt. And therefore, if we have even, the Gemara goes through various things, taking cheres that was crushed, or to using or piment, or levenim. In all of these things, you could grow plants, and because of that, it's included in the afar. That's the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And second place, the Torah says that a nazir is osir in tar lo yavar al rosho. Now, tar means dafka, a razor. But the halacha is, as we saw, a nazir is not allowed to cut his hair at all. The halacha b'chol davar. Wow. HaTorah Amra Sefer. Tzez Beferish V'katavla Sefer Kritut. So in order to divorce, you need to write a Sefer. Now, Sefer always means that we learn out, remember, from the whole dinner of Baruch Ben Neriah, where we talk about the Sefer of Eicha that was being written by Yirmiyahu. And we call that a Megillah. So from there we learn that the dinim of writing on skin and so on is part of the meaning of the word Sefer. So when the Torah said you have to write again, it should be written basically like a mezuzah. But the truth is, a get can be written on anything at all. And therefore, it literally throws the halacha out. Now, it throws the pasuk out. Now, if it's true, as you're suggesting, that you could actually use ashes for saita, so then in the same way we explain that the halacha was okevet or okeret, the din, by kisui hadam, we should also have mentioned a fourth case, namely the case of the sota, l'shav damihai. The Torah said, take the dirt, and you're taking ashes. And you're saying that that's okay, because we're darshaning it here from the pasuk of Nemar Kan Ofer, Nemar Halan Ofer, and so on, right? Okay, so that's a halacha that is okeret, the pasuk. Well, Rabbi Yishmael wasn't listing every case where a halacha was okeret, so he left out this one. Ton of a shir. What do you mean he left out this one? I mean, you don't leave out one case. Say three cases, say four cases. That's crazy. You only leave out a case where there are multiple cases that you leave out. So then you could be giving three examples and not giving an exhaustive list, but what else did he leave out? There is no other case. Ton of a shear. What's the shear? Umay shear, the high shear. What else did he leave out that he should leave this out? Because otherwise you can't leave out one case when you're pretending to present an exhaustive list. Very simple. He left out the case of a mitzora. What's that? What's the pasuk and what's the halacha that is okay at the pasuk? Well, legabe the tiglachat shniya of a mitzora. So in the braita it says like this: v'haya v'yoma shvi'i yigalach et kol sa'aro. Now this drosha that we're bringing over here is not the way we paskin, but it's the mashmaut of the pasuk. So the pasuk says, first we have a klal prado klal. It says kol sa'aro. Now kol sa'aro, obviously, all hair is a klal. And then it says et rosho, et zikono, et kabote nav. Now, I mean, if you said all hair, why in the world are we mentioning a beard and eyebrows and so, I mean, just say kol sa'aro and you got, I understand. So you're listing pratim, prat. Okay, and then at the end of the pasuk, you repeat the words, ve'et kol sa'aro yigaleach again. Wow, what is that? So we've got a klal prat uklal, chazar v'kalal. What's the rule of a klal prat uklal? Iatadan elek ina prat. So everything that is similar to the prat is included. Okay, all of the cases that were mentioned in the prat, a head, a beard, an eyebrow, those are cases that have two things, they all have two things in common. First of all, they are a kinus sear. They're not just hair spread out. They are a thickening of hair in that area and visible hair. So af kol makom kinus sear v'nir'eh. So that means that we're talking about is hair that is all thick in one place, and it's also visible on the outside of the body. So what would we include? Well, we would include pubic hair, which we call sear haraglayim, but it doesn't mean hair on the legs. We always talk about lo asat raglav, and so on. It's always referring to pubic hair. Okay, so pubic hair is indeed visible. Person's walking down the street without clothes on, you obviously immediately see he has pubic hair. And it's also kinus. It's a thickening of hair in that one place. But what is excluded? Well, two things. Hair that it isn't thickened, which is just regular body hair over the legs, over the hands. Or it's also excludes underarm hair. Why? Because that's not visible. The person's walking down the street and he's not holding his hands up, so then you're not going to notice that he's got this thickening hair under his arms. Anyway, that's the halacha as we darshan it from the pasuk. Klal prado klal, okay? What's the din? The halacha is that is megaleach kedalat, as we learned before. A mitzora is completely and totally, the same way the Levium, completely and totally remove his hair as if he's a pumpkin. So now there's nothing at all that's left. It's none. Because the Mishnah says, and this is the Mishnah in the Goyim, Balo lahakifeta mitzora ma'avir ta'ar al kol besoro, even though that's talking about the first tiglachat of the mitzora, but the Mishnah later says, Katani Seifa, Uvayoma Shvi'i Migalcho Tiglachat Shnia Ki Tiglachat Rishona. So that means that what we darshaned from Klal Prado Klal is canceled. So we just ended up saying no. It just means you've got to shave him as if he's a delat. So he looks like a pumpkin or a very smooth gourd of some kind, right? So that means that even though the pasuk is a very clear drusha from the pasuk is klal prado klal, so the halacha l'moshe mi Sinai that says that he has to be completely shaven completely ignores it. So how come Rabbi Yishmael didn't mention that? Because that's number five, right? So there were two things he left out. He left out number four, which is what we were just saying, maybe. In other words, maybe he actually would hold that ashes are the same thing as offer. And it would be one of the examples of the case where even though the Pasuk said afar, we would include afar. And number five, which is this case. What hair do you shave on the Metzorah? So now we could say, if you listed three things, you can leave out two things. What's the big deal? Amrav Nachar Bar Yitzchak, no, sorry. This is not considered to be the equivalent of taking out the meaning of the Pasuk. The meaning of the Pasuk over here, this is a drasha, and what we have over here is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai that is not being doicha or overriding a case that is said beferish in the Mikra. The only thing that it's doing is it's causing you to throw out a derabbanan. Oh, now this is a big fighting words, man. Why fighting words? Because remember one of the big machlokas in the Sefer HaMitzvos between the Ramban and the Rambam is remember the Rambam Pshita that we've had so many times that he calls drushas like these that come from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. He says beferish that even though these are drashot, they are only called a diuraita where we find Chazal referring to them as ben HaTorah. Otherwise, they are defined as b'divrei sofrim. So what it is that Chazal have discovered from the application of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, even though they come from the Pasuk, they are not the simple meaning of the Pasuk, and it's the Rabbanan that Rebbe Chai of these things, and therefore he always calls it Midivrei Sofrim, which drives people crazy, because if they don't know the Rambam Shita, they think he means Kiddushin is the Rabbanan, and so on, right? Even the Divrei Sofrim, the means over there is understanding what the Torah means about Kiddushin, that Kinyan, is Midivrei Sofrim because it's learned out from the Drasha Shatur and the Drasha Spam. Fine. And here it's calling it a Durabbanan. The Ramban goes to town on this. There's no such thing. Anything that comes out of the Pusik from the Midah Shatur and the Drasha Spam is a Diraisa. Well, what is the Ramban going to do with this? Here it's calling a Klal Pradu Klal a Durabbanan. Big discussions about this. Of course, the fact that there is another girsa that says ha okeves medrashi, not ha okeves Rabbanan, which would be consistent with the Ramban as well. In other words, it's not saying the difference between a deraisa and the Rabbanan. It's saying being doche, okevet, all the different meanings of okevet, you know, to override. So it only is here overriding the drasha, but it's not overriding the simple meaning of the pasuk, then that wouldn't have anything to do with this machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay, there's a lot of other solutions, which is that this din is actually a derabbanan din, that is to say that the concept of needing to shave the Mitzorah like a pumpkin, that's the Rabbanan. And that Midiraisa ain hachinami, the drasha, is still correct. So it's not really okevet. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says, you don't need another example. The reason that we cannot use, well, we should say we do need another example to leave out another case, because the reason that the pumpkin Mitzorah is not considered to be a case of shear is because the only cases that Rabbi Yishmael was listing when he said there's only three such cases is where the meaning of okevet is to okeret. It means to undermine, but not when it adds. Adding is not called okeret. I'm sorry. And therefore, there are only three such cases. But this case, where we're saying that the halacha l'mashmi Sinai is to turn the mitzvah into a pumpkin, that's adding. It's not undoing, it's adding things. In other words, you're saying, midiraisa, I could get away with the klal prado klal, and I wouldn't have to turn him into a pumpkin. But now comes on l'mashmi Sinai and says, listen, that's true, but you got to do even better. So doing even better is not called okevet in the sense of okeret. Remember, I mentioned to you that some have the gears of l'chatchila okeret, so I don't know what they do with Rav Papa, which mentions both things. But in any event, this case of the mitzvah is actually adding a chiyuv. Fine. So if you want to talk about another case, this is not a good case. Rav Ashi says, there's another good reason why it's not a good case for calling, leaving it out. Because this braita that darshened klal prado klal, which would have meant that there is no din of turning a mitzora into a pumpkin, that braita is going alibi de Rabbi Shmuel. Because remember that the midah shatara nidreshes behem, as they're listed in the Sifra, in the whole introduction of the Sifra, all of that is Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel lists klal prat uklal. So according to him, in Achinami, the meaning of the pasuk is the way that the Braita listed it. But the din that we said of Mr. Pumpkin Mitzera, that's going a libe to Rabbi Akiva. And we've already seen this machloket. The Mishnah, which says that you need to take all of his hair, that is Kidalat, that's Rabbi Akiva Yi. And Rabbi Akiva Bechlal argues in Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't hold of Klal Pradu Klal. As we saw before, Rabbi Akiva is Dorish Miute Veribuye, like we have. You know, yeah, this is like another Brisa that expresses Rabbi Akiva Shita. The same Pasuk, darshened with Ribuy Miut Riba, yields a completely different output than the Pasuk if you're going to darshan it as klal prado klal. So remember, the way that we do it with riba miut riba is that we do not make sets. And therefore, we would never have come up with this conclusion that there is a set of hair that is both visible and thickened. No, it's no such thing. There are no sets. So the way you would read the pasuk would be like this. V'haya bayom ha-shvi'i yigalach et kol saro. Okay, that's a ribui. That includes all hair. Now when you say, rosho zikano gabot enav, you're making a statement of, well, I don't really mean all of his hair. I mean, something's not going to be. And then you say at the end, et kol saro yigalach, that is once again being marba everything but the least reasonable thing. And therefore it would be riba hakol. So my riba, so it's including all body hair. This is Rabbi Akiva Shita, all body hair. But what's going to be excluded? Nasal hair, miet seyar shebetoch hachotem, which is the least reasonable thing to include. It's never visible. It's not necessarily seyar, where we're talking about cilia, doesn't necessarily mean that the person has seyar, and therefore it would not include anything would not exclude anything but something that is either totally invisible, unless you're a doctor looking up the guy's nose, but that's not the same as pubic hair or underarm hair. Which, I mean, the person's doing exercises, so he's got underarm hair, it becomes very visible. My hobby, Allah. Bottom line, so we haven't been able to decide whether the Karka HaMishkan implies that in this case, even Alibi de Beit Hillel, when it says afar, it means afar and not afer, because otherwise, if it means afer, it would not relate to the Mishkan at all. Well, Tashma. The Amar Ravuna Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, in the event that you do not have any kind of afar to put into the mesota, you could use even rakbuvit of yerek umekadesh, and you could bring up anything, even if it would be a vegetable that has decayed into just dust, since that's also the same as the idea of offer, the same way that afer is the same as offer, and it's just that it's that same process of combustion. It's just that it's a much more rapid combustion when it's burned than it is when it's consumed by the same process through bacteria, but the idea is that ultimately it's consumed. And if that's the case, the same thing is true over here. Now, Rashi does not have this velohi, okay? Rashi understands this to all be part of the Raya. Since Rav Huna Bar Ash quoted Rav as saying that you're only allowed to bring rakbuvis yerek, it would mean you cannot use ash, because rakvuvit yarek is part of the natural process of building soil. So that's called soil. But this rapid burning of things, afer is not called soil. So he leaves out the word velohi because it's part of the same statement. If you have the gear so that we have a velohi, it means that we took for granted that decaying vegetation is the equivalent of ashes, to which the Gemara says, not necessarily, because you could certainly make a distinction between the two and saying that ash, which is a different process, is not the same thing as afar. Okay, so we can't necessarily bring a raya from here. Getting back to the Mishnah, so we said, he's supposed to take the afar from the Mishkan, question of what that is, okay, whatever we end up paskening, and he should put it on the water in such a way, kidei sheyira'eh al hamayim. That means that it cannot just simply become invisible by mixing it with the water, and we don't even note that there was any of this offer there. It has to be actually visible. Tanu Rabbanan. We also have three cases in which things need to be visible. This is very similar to we have the three cases of the halacha o keret. What are those three cases? Well, the afar sota, as we just learned in the Mishnah, has to be visible in the water. The afer para have to be visible on the water. And the spit of a yavama in the case of chalitza has to be visible to the people looking on. And Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru, there's a fourth case. And what is that? The damat zippor, which is the, remember that the mitzvah, these are not karbonis. Remember, this is the way that we begin the Tiras HaMitzvah, is that we take the two tziporim, these are small tziporim, we shecht one of them on the mayim, and then we dip the other tzipor together with the etzeres and the etzov, and so we dip the whole thing into the dam of the tzipor ha-shachut that is on the mayim. So the lashon over there is that you are supposed to actually take the blood of that tzipor, and you put it in the water in a way, says Rabbi Shmuel, that it is seen. So it can't just dissolve into the water so you don't even notice that there's blood. Why? Because it says, V'tziva ko'in v'shachata tatzipora achata klicheres al mayim achayim. So we're understanding that to mean al mayim achayim, that I need to be able to see it. Now, for some reason, the Chachamim argue. So let's take a look at the Machlokas. My time with the Rabbi Yishmael. So why does Rabbi Yishmael hold that we need to include the dam of the Tzipor HaShachut has to be seen in the water? Because V'taval Otam, it says over there you have to be Tevel, the Tzipor HaChaya, and the Eitzeres, and the Ezov, and the Shnitolat, all of those things, are put, held together, dipped into the dam hatzipor. And in the Braita, it says the word bidam. You might think that that means that you dip these directly into the blood of the tzipor, not into the water. So yochol bidam v'lo b'mayim. So maybe you would actually just keep the blood in a separate container, and you should instead, you should actually sprinkle blood, like we often find, right? So maybe it means over here the same thing, that you should do it in the dam and keep that dam separate. We're going to see how that would be in a minute. Talmud Lomar, no, it has to be b'mayim, because it says over here, mayim, it doesn't say b'mayim, it says al hamayim. So this girsa, according to some of the Rishonim, is wrong. So al hamayim is what it says. And therefore, you would think, okay, so then if that's the case, I could just put it into the mayim, right? So iba mayim, yoko, you might think that that means into the water without any blood in it. No. Talmud lomar bin dam. Okay, tzad. So the point is that you can only bring enough water that it will not be so much that you will not be able to see the dam in it, because you won't be able to tell. I mean, obviously you'll tell that it's a little red, but you will not be able to tell that it's bloody. You know, I mean, you could mistake it for something that's got a little Kool-Aid in it, or that's got some stomp coloration, but you won't be able to tell that it's blood unless there's a significant amount of blood there. So this tells me that you cannot use more than a revi'it. So how much blood should you use? Bekama revi'it. So a revi'it, if you have the amount of dam that is in the tzipor, which we're going to see, you would have the dam and the mayim. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, this means you have to be able to see the dam and the mayim. So this is another case where it requires visibility. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we have four cases that require visibility. And the Rabbanan, why do they say only three cases? They don't include the dam of the tzipor. No, what do you mean, say the Rabbanan? What do you see that has to be seen? I don't understand what you're talking about. All that it's teaching you is that it has to be mixed. That's all. In other words, the Pasuk said, you might think that you could do it in the dam alone. No. You might think you'd do it in the water alone. No. You have to do it in the mixture of the dam and the mayim. But where the heck do you come out to say that that means in a visible mixture? That I don't understand. Was there an extra word there that I missed? So it's just simply telling me, hachikam rachmana, atvil b'dam u'b'mayim. That's all. Says Rabbi Shimon, no, if it's only coming to tell me that it should be mixed, why does it repeat again? B'dam u'b'mayim. I know that we're talking about the dam uvamayim. It should have just said bahem in both of them. And then I would know that. If it's stressing but dam uvamayim, it means it needs to be nikar that we have over here, dam uvamayim. And that is why I say this is a fourth case of where something has to be visible. Lanika verabonan. You don't have that option, my dear Rabbi Shmuel. What are you telling me it should say? Use a pronoun. To be tovo behem, how would I know that tovo behem means in them mixed? Maybe it means to do a dipping in one and then a dipping in the other. Dip it in the dam in one container and then dip it in the mayim in another container. Therefore, in order to avoid that, it says badam uva mayim to tell me that those two things are together and they need to be mixed. But where do you see that they need to be nikar? We still don't understand where you're getting that from. Says Rabbi Shmuel, because it can't mean that they need to be mixed. I know that from another pasuk. Because la'arvan, I don't need this to tell me that. This is coming to tell me nikar. Why? Because we have another pasuk. Kro achrina ketiv. Over there it says beferish, that you're supposed to take v'tziva kohen v'shachata tatzipor ha'echad el kli cheres al mayim chayim. Okay, now, how in the world could you shech the bird al mayim chayim without the blood getting mixed. So, I mean, it's sort of clear, isn't it, Chachamim? So therefore, what's this extra pasuk about damu b'mayim is coming to tell me that, not that they're mixed, but that they're nikar, that it's damu b'mayim. Whereas the Rabbanan say, not necessarily. Because maybe it's just telling you where to shecht. So take the mayim, and you have this bowl of water. Now take the bird, shecht the bird over the bowl of water, but be mekabel the dam outside of that bowl of water, right? So you can hold the vridim, you hold the artery that's pumping that blood over a cup that is not in the water, and you collect it the way we often do when we're dealing with kachim. We collect the blood, even though this isn't kachim, but maybe that's what it's saying. And therefore, I would have said, Avamina lishkbe somuk lamana, yes, you do have to shecht it over the bowl of the water. But as far as the blood is concerned, that doesn't necessarily mean the blood's going to fall into the water. Ninkatinu livridim. So take the blood vessel that is pouring blood and keep that over a separate cup. L'kabli l'dam b'mona achrina. And then put it in one, dip the tzipor achaya and the etzeres v'ezo v'shnito la'at into the dam, and then separately into the mayim. So I still need the pasuk to tell me, but damu v'mayim, that they're mixed. I don't see any extra word here that teaches me that not only are they mixed, but that they have to be nikar. So therefore, we disagree with Rabbi Yishmael's conclusion that we have four cases of things that need to be nikar. Now remember that Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one who always gets himself into trouble by questioning cases where there's a shiur that's given, and he wants to know what happens if, you know, one foot's in and one foot's out, or if this is a specific case where the shiur doesn't work. So Rabbi Yirmiyah again says to Rabbi Zera, well, how about if the bird is so big that if you just put a gravias there, it's going to look like blood and no water, because a gravias of mayim with this big bird, I mean, this might even be a bird from Sesame Street, in which case it's so gedola, it's madechet et hamayim. I know it's a horrible thing to say to shecht the bird from Sesame Street, but we have to face facts. And how about if it's a tiny little bird and a ravias is so much water that you're not going to be able to see that it's blood? So what would you say? Is that still called blood and mayim? And Rabbi Zera gives his constant response to Rabbi Yishmael, who never learns and he does not accept this klal. And he says to him, how many times have I told you, latafik nafshech alavar mi'ilchata, stop working outside of the conceptual structure of the halacha? Whenever we have a shir drabona, these questions are absurd questions, because all of this is taken into consideration in the shir that the Chachamim gave l'chatchila. Betzipor dror shiarucha rabbanan, ein lecha gedola shemadechat atamayim, ve'ein lecha kitana shinidchet mipnei hamayim. The whole point of using a tzipor dror, which we learn out. Now, this is a big question, whether a tzipor dror is a specific type of bird, which is the mashmaut over here in the sugya. And therefore, it's very problematic, because the Ramban says, no, a tzipor dror simply means a wild bird. If it only means a wild bird, so it could certainly be of any size, right? And therefore, this Gemara doesn't, the word tzipor dror over here would have to mean that the wild bird only refers to the small type of birds that fly very wildly. So they use very erratic flight structures where they change flight very quickly, as you'll often see, especially in those beautiful starling pictures. You know, we've got 100,000 starling, they all turn instantly. But that's all part of a survival strategy. Maybe that's what's called a tipor dror, and not just any bird that lives in the wild, maybe. But many of the Rishonim learn that a tzipor dror is a specific type of bird. And a lot of the Rishonim even discuss what kind of bird it is. And so, therefore, the Pashas of the Gemara is that Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, since the Chachomim were koveya, the Aveda, in terms of tzipor dror, with this shear, it means that a revius of mayim is specifically usable for any tzipor dror. It never goes outside of these boundaries. Okay, back to Saita. Tana Rabbana. How about if you put in the afar before you put in the mayim? So then you'd have a problem, because the Torah says, v'lakach ha-kohen, Mayim kedoshim bekliheres, umin ha'afara shiye bekarka mishkan yikaka kohen v'natan ala mayim. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That the mayim kedoshim has to be in the kliheres, and then you add the afar on top. How about if you put the afar into the kliheres, and then you pour the mayim from the kior into the kliheres? Would that still be kosher? It violates the way that the Torah said it. And this is part of the chayk of Saita. And therefore it's pasul. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's still kosher. What? How can you say it's kosher if it goes against the pasul? I'll tell you why. Because we learn out from Parah Adumah. By Parah Adumah, it says, V'lakula tami mi'afar sreifat hachatat. So we learn out over there that the din is v'natan alav mayim chayim el keli. Now that's pretty clear, that over there, you take the afar srefat achatat, put it into a container, and on top of that, v'natan alav mayim chayim el keli. So there, on the contrary, you put the afar down first, right? Now, it does say over there, of course, the word afar. But it isn't afar. Remember, V'tanya, Omer Rabbi Shimon, it isn't afar. How in the world did the Parah Adumah turn into afar? If it was burned, it turned into Efer. V'halo Efer hu. Therefore, Shina katub b'mashma'o. Why do you think that the Torah uses a strange word when it really clearly contextually is referring to ash? In order to teach you Exera Shava, that just like we use the word afar strangely to refer to the Parah Adumah, the word afar is teaching you the connection to the afar hasota, from the afar of the karka hamishkan, v'nemar lahalan by sota afar. So just like by afar, when it says over here by the Parah Adumah, as we're going to see, the afar, just like by the sota, the afar is on top of the mayim, as we just saw, so too by the Parah Adumah, even though it says the mayim goes on top of it, the afar is really supposed to be put on top of the mayim. But just like the pasuk makes it very clear by the Parah Adumah, that certainly if you were mocked in the afar to the mayim, it would be kosher, which we're going to go into in a minute. How do I know that? But obviously we know what the pasuk said. So afla alan ikdim afalamayim kasher. So it's coming to tell me that the truth is that bidi avad, in the case of the sota, if you did it the other way around and you put the afar before you put the mayim, it would be kosher, even though the pasuk said that the kohen should take it and put it on the mayim. Wait, you said by the Parah Adumah we know for a fact that it would be kosher b'di avad if you put in the afar, which is really afer, first? How do you know that? Because I just told you the pasuk. Trei kroikti. Look, if you take a look in the Parah Adumah, there's a contradiction. Because, I mean, on the one hand, the pasuk says, v'lakula tamei mi'afar, meaning mi'efer, sreifat ha'parah v'natan alav ma'im chayim el-keli, right? That was the first pasuk that we brought. So alav would imply that the ashes go first, alma efer bereisha. But then the problem is, it says ma'im chayim el-keli. El-keli means directly into the container, and not on top of the ashes, which implies that the water's got to go first into the keli before it is that we put the afer. Well, make up your mind. How can the first part of a sentence be the opposite of the last part? Alma mayim bereishis. How do you explain that? Must be that it's up to you. Haketzat, ratza zenotein. So in other words, on the one hand, if I wouldn't have had the Gezeira Shava, so I would have said, this is how we understand, at least according to most of the Mefarshim, if it wouldn't be for Mamish Gezeira Shava, we're just looking at the Pasuk, the contradiction of the Pasuk, in Parah Aduma. So then I would have said that you could basically make up your mind. There's no Lechatchila, and there's no Bidiavad. Now we just said, but now we have the Gezeira Shava to Afara Sota. So that teaches me that actually you have to do it the way that you would do it with the sota, which means that the water is meant to be there first. So then how do we understand it now? We understand it now that when it says alav, which is mashpat, you put in the afer first, that's coming to tell me not that that's how to do it, lechatchila, but rather if you did it, that it would be kosher. So in other words, from sota, we learned the correct procedure by the Parah Aduma lechatchila, and from the Parah Aduma, we learned bidiavad that you would be yotze not only by the Parah Aduma bidiavad, but by sota bidiavad if you did it the other way around. That's what ratza zenotin. Doesn't mean you have that option now. It means you would have without the Gezeira Shava have had it as an option, and now it comes to tell me the difference between lechatchila bidiavad. And the Rabbanan, they hold, forget about Sota, that even by Parah Aduma, if you put the Afer in first, it's possible, but the Pasuk said that you could do it either way, didn't it? No. When it said Mayim Chaim El Keli, that's the only way you can do it, say the Rabbanan. That's Dafka. So then why did it say Alav? Ah, Alav means that they need to be mixed. So in other words, I'm putting first the water, and then I'm putting the ashes, and then I'm putting the water on the ashes, meaning that I mix it up. So when I mix it up, then the water goes on the ash. That's the point. So it's coming to tell me that we need to have both. Okay, well, I mean, how do you know? Maybe start the other direction. Maybe the Alav is Dafka, And it's telling us that you're supposed to actually put the afer ha'parah directly and on top of them put water, and then you mix it. I mean, I don't understand how you know which one comes first is the essential one. That you didn't have any riot to, did you? Yes, I do. Because when it says, Mayim Chayim El Keli, what it's telling me is that the chiyut of the water goes directly into the kli. In other words, you've got the spring water still springing, so to speak, into this kli. Mashen kein, if they're already going to be coming into the offer, then they're not mayim chayim into the kli. Then they're mayim chayim in the offer, which is in the kli. Therefore, it makes much more sense. And, okay, so if that's the case, if we would have said that, it would have come out to be telling me, essentially, that the other way around, right? In other words, we should actually, maybe the idea over here is that you have to take it, shetehei chiyutan bikli, and that you could then move it into another kli, right? So in other words, what are we saying? If we would have known this, I would have said, okay, you have to be able to have the water going directly into the kli. So if that's the case, then the alav would mean what? Let's put the let's put the Afer in there first. And then when it says, Al Kli Sheteich Yuson B'Kli, maybe that means into a different Kli and then poured from there into that. Because...
Not like Rashi.
Perhaps. Notice there's different approaches how to understand this. Because Rashi has got Ema Alav the Dafka and El Kli Sheteheich Yutam B'Kli as our Girsa. So Rashi says maybe that would mean that the offer does need to be offer. And when it says Mayim Chayim El Kelly, it just means to tell me don't put it into another Kli. But it doesn't mean that it has to go directly into the Kli. That's how Rashi understands it, right? Correct? You there? Barnea? What happened? Okay. So in other words, even though the Gemara seems to be giving an answer, the correct understanding of it is, as we'll see in a moment, that it's giving alternatives in which we could still understand the Chiyus and El Kli. So the answer to that implied question is that Ma Matzino B'chol Makom Machshir L'Mala Afkan Machshir L'Mala. The point is that, remember the word Machshir means something that is the catalyst that allows a material to be functional. So wherever we have something, let's say we have by the Sota, so we have the water. The water is going to be what is Baedeker, the Mayim HaMa'orim. But what's Machshir? What catalyzes that water to be active as Mayim HaMa'orim? So you need to put the offer from the Mishkan on the water, and that, so to speak, juices it up, that now it's ready to work as the Mayim HaMa'orim. Well, the same thing would be true about the case over here by the Mitzora. We need to use the blood and not just water, right? So then that means that the blood of the Tzipor HaShchuta is what catalyzes the reaction to be able to be utilize this water to be active. And we can now pour it on the Mitzora, and that's the first stage of his Tyra. So then if that's the case, then it's a Machshir. So the same way that the Machshir elsewhere goes on top, here too, the Machshir must go on top.